you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter, not the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The whole purpose of the Lenten season is not to make the ancient Pelagius, the heretic, happy by all our own sort of actions done virtuously. The whole purpose of Lent is to return us to the image and likeness of God. The practice of praying is so that we can think as God thinks and want and will what He wills. The whole purpose of almsgiving is so that we might enter into God the Father's liberal providence, recognizing that whatever we have is a divine depository placed in our hands. The whole purpose of fasting is so that we might learn how to hunger for what God starves, to become merciful as our Father is merciful, to become holy like our Father is holy, and that's not fundamentally our activity. So many of you have Therese as a name. Saint Therese Lisieux used to tell us that holiness is not a 10,000-step staircase. Holiness, and she was born at the end of the 19th century when elevators had just been installed in Paris when she went on her pilgrimage when she was 14. Holiness is like God coming down as an elevator attendant, opening up the door and saying, "Would you like a ride to the top?" He gives us the help that we need. He draws near precisely in order to fill us with that mercy. We need to look at the gifts that He gives us precisely with this perspective. And one of the reasons why so many of us profit so little from God's help is because we look at what God gives us with diabolical rather than divine eyes, as burdens rather than as incredible blessings. So in today's first reading, we see what God inspires Moses to say. What great nation is there that is God's so close to us as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon Him? Then He specifies it. Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I'm setting before you today? That God has drawn close with His law, not just as an exterior set of dictates for us to align ourselves to against the grain, but that God has come so that we might literally enflesh that law, to eat the scroll of His law, to become one, to hear Him whispering from the inside in our conscience exactly what He allowed Moses to write down for all the people. We talk about this anew in the responsorial psalm that we heard, our response to that gift that we describe in the first reading, that God has proclaimed His word to Jacob, His statutes and His ordinances to Israel. He has not done thus for any other nation. He has not made known to them His ordinances. That there was something really special about Israel, that they had had God draw so near that He would teach them His ways so that they could walk in His paths. And if that's true about what God had revealed to the Israelites, how much more is it true for us who have had Jesus come and bring that law to the fulfillment and then promise to send the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, to remind us of everything that He taught us, and at the same time to become our interior new law, as the Catechism says. Do we recognize that the law is this incredible blessing? do you recognize your rules, especially that part of it that you might find most against the grain? It's an incredible gift. It's a gift not only of the Lord's proximity, but it's a means by which we can become a testimony of God's great nearness. And one of the things that people say about Mormons today, for example, is, regardless of the weird theology of everybody gets his own planet and, you know, various of the other things that we can see with the Mormons, we can praise the Mormon family structure. There is a real fruit that happens, and it is something that's contagiously attractive to people today. That's what we need to be communicating, that it's precisely because of our interiorization, our enfleshment, our becoming living, breathing, walking exegetes of the law of God, that we're particularly blessed. And in a world that is becoming more and more chaotic, that loving discipline that God gives us to make us disciples is all the more attractive. I prayed today in the words before the gospel, your words, Lord, are spirit and life. You have the words of everlasting life. That we find this nearness of the Lord in his law, not just nearness on the outside, but true nearness on the inside. We find it life-giving, and not just in this world, but forever. But that gift comes with a task, as God's gifts always do. Moses says at the end to the Israelites, however, take care, be earnestly on your guard, not to forget the things that your own eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your memory as long as you live, but teach them to your children and to your children's children. We do need to take care. We can't take for granted this incredible gift. So many of us do. So many people have never read the Old Testament. Many of us have never read the New. It would only take us 12 minutes a day. We'd finish the entire Bible in a year. But many of us haven't given that type of love because we don't recognize that it's all a series of love letters that God has given us, and a real sign of his proximate mercy. Unforgetting is the great principle of the Desert Fathers, that if we're going to remain on the narrow way that leads to life, we've got to have anamnesis, the reverse of amnesia, to remember, to recall. And the greatest way we do that, Moses points out, is by teaching it to others. As anyone who has ever taught recognizes, that when we have to digest something in such a way that we can present it cogently to others, our grasp of it grows. And we need to teach this if we're really going to remember it, not necessarily in catechetical classrooms, but we need to teach it as lived. Jesus describes that that's the path to real greatness. When Jesus talks about holy ambition in the gospel, and he wants us to have holy ambition, he describes about serving all the rest, he describes about real humility, and today he describes about enfleshing his word. Whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Will not only be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, but will be the greatest on earth, because no one has a God so close as we have in the Lord our God. But it even gets better. It's a little bit like an infomercial. But several years ago, Cardinal Ratzinger wrote a beautiful book called God is Near, based on Deuteronomy 4, which was our first reading, which he stressed the great gift that we have in God's law. But then he said, how much more can we say it about the supreme gift of the incarnation of the Word in the Holy Eucharist? What people is there that is a God who loves us so much that he comes and hides himself under the appearances of bread and wine so that we might literally become one with him from the inside out? St. John Vianney, about whom you'll be hearing a lot on these early morning meditations, St. John Vianney said, if God had given us what he gave Solomon as an 18-year-old, the opportunity to ask Him for anything at all, as high as the heavens above or as deep as the world below. We would never have even imagined that we could ask God the Father, let your Son come into this world, take on our nature, be murdered in order to save us from our sins, and then go even further than Bethlehem, even further than Calvary, in allowing us to eat Him. But He said what the human imagination would have never dared to ask, God has actually done. What an incredible God we have who's going to come this near to us today, both in the word we've just heard and in the word made flesh, for which He's made our souls to hunger. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.